Shalom. You're about to hear a message given by Rabbi Lauren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, shema.com.
Thank you, Donald. Let's turn to Paul and Timothy's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. We are to be a united, humble, selfless, obedient community whose attitude stands out from the world. Rabbi Paul was one of the greatest men who ever lived. He was a member of the chosen people. He was a great scholar, theologian, prophet, representative of the risen Messiah. In fact, the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the God-inspired author of much of the New Testament. Paul was one of the very greatest leaders of Messiah's community who's ever lived. In spite of that, he had been arrested while in Israel and had been sent to Rome and imprisoned while awaiting trial. There were Christians and Messianic Jewish leaders who stepped into the vacuum left by Paul's imprisonment, who were trying to take advantage of Paul's situation to get something out of it for themselves. They were operating out of bad motives, selfish ambition, and rivalry. They saw Paul as their competition, and so the worse it went for Paul, the better they thought it would go for themselves. They were envious of this great rabbi and thought that with the Lord's representative out of the way, they could step into the vacuum and gather more people, power, position, and prestige for themselves. Paul did not want Messiah's community in Philippi to operate with these kinds of bad attitudes. He wanted them to not selfishly advance themselves, but to be a loving, united community. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Messiah, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, make me happy, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Because of the fall, human beings are broken. And it's hard for us to get along with one another. But the sons and daughters of God can be different. We can get along with one another. We can be united. We could love one another and be friends with one another and get into agreement with one another and work together to serve the Lord. Why? Because we understand that we have gotten so much from following Yeshua. Because his love has made a huge difference in our lives. Because we know that we are all part of a very special community where the Spirit of the living God lives in each one of us. Because the Lord has given us a new nature with a new heart to love people. We can be different from the selfish ambition and rivalry that exists in the world. Paul wants the Philippians to be different from the broken, selfish people that populate this fallen world. He wanted the Christians and Messianic Jews of Philippi to be united, loving, humble. He wanted them to love one another, to be united in their thinking, serving each other, building each other up, not tearing each other down. It's not easy for human beings to live that way. But Paul knew that it was possible for Messiah's community in Philippi to live that way. And I believe that it's possible for our community as well. We can become that kind of community by getting our identity from God and by looking to the example of Messiah. Here's the problem with being part of a united, loving, humble community. Human beings have been terribly damaged by the fall. One of the consequences of Eden's catastrophe is that we are insecure. We feel inadequate. We rarely feel good about ourselves. And why should we? Our minds, bodies, souls, spirits have been corrupted, and our relationships with God, people, and nature have been terribly damaged. In fact, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, alienated from our Creator, who's the source of life, headed to hell, not heaven, to death, not life. It's hard to feel good about yourself when that's who you are. We try to feel better about ourselves, but we go about it in the wrong ways. If we're admired by others, we think we can feel better about our inadequacies. If we are in a higher position than others, if we can control others, we must be more important than they are. And so we can feel better about ourselves. And so we have a desperate need to seek more success than others, more wealth than others, a better job than others, a more beautiful wife, a more beautiful car than others, a higher status than others. But this kind of self-centeredness, pride, boasting, arrogance, empty conceit isn't the answer to feelings of human inadequacy. There's a better way. There's a true way to overcome our feelings of insecurity and inadequacy. And that is by getting our identity from God. By understanding that we are precious and valuable because we are made in the image of God. That we become adequate and secure when we get into a right relationship with God. That Christians and Messianic Jews have been redeemed from the satanic slave market of sin and death by the Son of God. That God the Father and Messiah the Son love us deeply, personally, intensely, and plan to live with us forever and ever. That the Spirit of God lives in us and loves us. We need to get our identity rooted and grounded in God. If it is, our godly identity frees us from feelings of insecurity and inadequacy. That liberates us from selfish ambition and pride and arrogance and the need to boast. It frees us to help others and be part of a loving, united, humble community. And so Paul writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Try to put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand to someone else. It's a very different attitude than that of the world. Paul, one of the greatest men who ever lived, lived that servant-like way. And we should imitate his example. He's a great role model for us. But the greatest example of humility and helping others get ahead is that of the Son of God. The one who is the greatest humbled himself the most, at the greatest cost to himself, in order to help the many become the most they could be. His is the example we are to constantly think about. His is the example we are to follow. And so Paul writes, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Messiah Yeshua, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Messiah was and is in very nature God. The Son of God is equal to God the Father in nature. He is distinct from the Father as to his person, but one in nature with the Father. Eternal, uncreated, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-good, all-love. Before the incarnation, from that place of equality with God the Father, the Son of God ruled over all things, over all the various angels, over all created beings, over all forces and powers. But from that most exalted and honored place, the Son of God humbled himself. He emptied himself of some of his attributes of divinity, like being all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. From that highest place, with the greatest status, the Son of God lowered himself. The Creator took on the form of a creature. The one through whom the universe was made became a small, frail human being. But the Son of God did not become just any kind of human being. Although he could have become a mighty Lord of men, he chose to become an ordinary human being whose mission was to serve, not be served. The Almighty, all-present, all-knowing, all-glorious Son of God emptied himself, limited himself, lowered himself, humbled himself, not for himself, but for us, to help us, to serve us, to benefit us. And what kind of help did we need the most? Not more money, not more education, not better politics, not even something as noble as justice among men. Our greatest need was atonement, to be reconciled to God from whom the whole world has been estranged. And there was only one way for that reconciliation to take place, by having our sins forgiven, by the greater exchanging his life for the lesser, by the innocent giving his life for the guilty. So the Son of God humbled himself even further by becoming obedient to death, a horrible, humiliating, painful death, nailed to a cross. That kind of self-humbling, that kind of sacrificial love and service is what God the Father is like. That's God's nature. That's who God is. And that kind of humility and sacrificial love and service in others pleases the Father. And the Father rewards that kind of humility and selfless service. And so Paul writes, therefore, God exalted him, Yeshua, to the highest place and gave Yeshua the name that is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Messiah Yeshua is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because of his self-humbling and his selfless service and sacrificial love that went all the way to a horrible death, God the Father made sure that Messiah the Son was high and lifted up and greatly exalted, far beyond anyone or anything, so that one day all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will come and bow, acknowledging the superiority and the supreme lordship of Yeshua the Messiah. This is right, this is appropriate, and this will please and honor God the Father. If the one who was the highest willingly lowered himself to serve others, and God the Father will make sure that Yeshua is greatly rewarded, you can be sure that if you humble yourself and serve others, that you too will be greatly rewarded one day. Messiah's example of humility and serving others is what we want to imitate. That's what we want to be like. Not the example of those who are selfishly ambitious and rise to high places in this world. So, like the Son of God, humble yourself. Those who humble themselves now will be raised by God later. Those who give their lives in service to others now will be greatly rewarded later. But those who, through selfish ambition and pride, raise themselves now will be lowered later. Rabbi Paul wanted the Philippians to be a united community, a humble community, a selfless community. He also wanted them to be an obedient community. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. When the cat's away, the mice will play. When the Lord's representative, Paul, was living among the Philippians, they lived the right way. They were obedient. Now that Paul was separated from them, he wanted them to keep it up, to do the right things, to live the right way, to have the right attitudes. He wanted them to be energetic in their life of salvation, reverent and sensitive to God. He wanted them to really try hard to live the right way. That's what I understand his words to mean: work out your salvation with fear and trembling. To be energetic in their life of salvation, to work hard, being reverent and sensitive to God, to try really hard to live the right way. Even though it's very hard to live an obedient, God-honoring life in this fallen world, they could do it. Because they were not on their own. God was working in them. He was living in them by means of His Spirit. And that Spirit was working in them, helping them to want to do the right things. And then helping them to do what God wanted them to do. Hasn't that been your experience? Before you knew the Lord, you did what you wanted. You lived the way you wanted to live. And if you were like me, being obedient to God's standards was not your highest priority. But after you understood that Yeshua is the Messiah and the Savior, and that the Father sent Yeshua to save the world, after you ended your part in the great rebellion against God, after you transferred your loyalties to the Father, Son, and Spirit, you found that you had a new interest to do the right things. You had a new interest in wanting to please God. You wanted to obey the Lord who created you and then redeemed you. You had a new desire to serve the Lord and to do His will, not your will. That was God working in you, transforming you from within, giving you the desires to do the right things, and then empowering you to do what is right. What a tremendous thing. What a tremendous blessing. What a tremendous gift. God working in you to will and to do what He wants. This is something that the world does not experience. Along with wanting them to be a united, humble, selfless, obedient community, the Lord's representative wanted them to have a positive attitude. Do everything without grumbling, without arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Because of the fall, it's natural for us to grumble, to complain, to argue, to bicker, to quarrel, to focus on what we don't have rather than focus on what we do have. To focus on what we don't like about someone or some situation rather than what we do like. This kind of negative, complaining, argumentative attitude is so very common in people in the world, isn't it? The sons and daughters of the King of Kings are to be different. We are to have a good attitude, to do everything without bickering, complaining, quarreling, arguing. If we are able to be uncorrupted in a corrupt world, if we are able to be a breath of fresh air in a polluted society, we will stand out from a dying world and point people to the truth. So Paul continues, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. I want to be like that. Not that I already am. Ask Martha. I want to be like that little point of light in the dark night of the world, pointing people to God, to truth, to salvation, to eternal life. How about you? Paul wanted the Philippians to carry the light-giving message into the night so that he would have no reason to be embarrassed about them on the day when Messiah returns. Then I will be able to boast on the day of Messiah that I did not run or labor in vain. He wanted them to be humble, united, obedient, different from the world, living proof that he didn't put all that work into them for nothing. Paul was happy about them, knowing how well they were doing in the areas that are most important, knowing God, serving the Lord, being obedient, even suffering for God. He wanted them to be happy for him for the same reasons, no matter what happened to him. The Philippian community was serving God, and they were suffering for their loyalty to God. Paul, too, was serving God and suffering for it. He compares the suffering of this community to a sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. He compares his suffering to wine that was poured out accompanying the main sacrifice. And so he writes, "But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad. I rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." This great rabbi is telling them that even if he is put on trial, even if he's executed, he's going to be happy. His life will have been a great success. He will have pleased God. He will have helped many others find God. If death is the outcome, he doesn't want them to feel sorry for him, but be happy for him. And that's what I want for our community, to be united, to be selfless, obedient, pure, to have a good attitude that stands out from people in the world, even if we are called upon to suffer, pointing a dark world to God and salvation. This is really what it's all about. Amen. Please stand. Let's continue with our tefillah.
Thank you for listening to a message by Rabbi Loren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, shema.com.